Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Tattus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who's the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Today, our topic is, are you confusing love with the newness, perhaps the mysterious or the exotic with your current relationship? First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio to rewrite your story, host page for upcoming shows and co-host. And also to go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away. You know, Cindy, I love this new relationship that I'm in. It is so phenomenal. Everything about it is really, really good. I mean, all I think about is, wow, how great is it? I mean, where has she been all my life? That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, gosh, I know, man. This new guy that I met, I just can't wait to see him. And just thinking about him gives me goosebumps all over my body. I dream about him. I can't wait to see him. Every time I get a text or a phone call from him, I just brighten up because it's so exciting and so fresh and so new. And I just think, what a lucky girl I am to have such a wonderful guy like him.
We've all been through that, haven't we?
We definitely have all been. Do want to remind our listeners, you can go to facebook.com/groups/yourtoxicrelationshipdance and join in on the conversation on our Facebook page. And if you can also call in to ask questions. I do monitor the Facebook page during the call, so if you have a question, you post it on the Facebook page. We'll do our best to get to it. And, you know, any comments or questions you have are definitely appreciated. And if we don't get to it during the call, we'll get to it later. And if you're on the phone, you can phone in to 713-955-0561. And also, if you're on the Blog Talk page, there's a chat thing that you can chat with Al. So with that, we're going to go ahead, Al and I, and discuss a little bit more. Are you confusing love with the newness, perhaps the mysterious or the exotic, with your current relationship? So I'm going to let you start, Mr. Al.
You know, one of the things and one of the lessons in life that I've had to deal with is, and I know I'm a very trusting person, and over the years, people have told me, Al, you got to be more discerning. And I thought to myself, I used to think to myself, I go, well, discernment, you know. And I'm also very trusting. And I know I would jump into relationships based on in the initial excitement and the initial, for lack of better words, honeymoon period. And it would feel really, really good. And the crazy part about it is you override whatever is quote unquote negative about that person with the newness and the excitement that you feel, even though it starts becoming dwindling and you're starting to see the other aspects of the person, I personally would ignore them. I would recognize them, but I would ignore them because I was caught up in the newness, in the mysterious. And so one thing that I had to learn personally is discernment. I had to understand what was going on in front of me, and so that way I can make quality decisions and whether to move forward in that relationship or not.
And, you know, with that, it's dates. Everybody thinks first dates are something spectacular, and actually, you know, two things. Number one, you want to be doing the selecting. You don't just want to be, for lack of a better way to do it, is I picture the movies we see of all these little wallflowers lined up on the wall waiting for a guy to ask the girl to dance. And whether you're a man or a woman, you don't have to sit there and wait for a man or a woman to select you or to choose that you're the right one for them. You need to really know who the right person for you is. You need to know in your heart and your mind the essence of the type of person that you want in your life for a long-term companionship. And so with this first date, you're just checking to see if you want to get to know the person better. And the newness of it is you know, you have this nice-looking guy, this nice-looking girl. They laugh at all your jokes because they've never heard them before. They're 100% interested in all of your life stories because they've never heard them before. And, you know, and so it's new and it's exciting, and you feel like you're being heard. You feel like you're being understood. But basically, are you just doing the same thing you've always done without looking for what it is that you want? Every single person that you meet will change your life in one way or another, and every single person that you meet, whether it's in a relationship or not, has something there that you can learn from. So maybe, you know, so whenever you're dating and you're in a new relationship, it's constantly, is this person making me be a better version of me? And, you know, what is it that I can learn? What lessons there in this relationship for me, rather than being intrigued by the mysterious? I had a client who, you know, she was, she met this guy and she fell hard for him. And even after she found out a lot of not so great things about him, there was this mystery about him that she was just consistently drawn to, you know, the bad boy phenomenon, whatever you want to call it. And it was that mysterious. She was like, I want to know what he does. I want to know his secret, you know, because he kept so much of his life private that she was intrigued by the mysteriousness. And that is something that can be exotic. It's almost like, I don't know if men do this, but I know women do this a lot. It's like they go on this treasure hunt. Ooh, he's mysterious. And part of that is because of our chick flicks that we watch and the romance novels that we read. You have this tall, dark, mysterious man come into your life, and part of him seems so big and so strong, but there's this mystery that you're bound and determined to solve. And it's exciting and it's fun because you're unsolving the mystery. You're putting the puzzle together. And that, it can definitely evolve into love, but it's recognizing that what you're feeling is the newness in the unknown. You're experiencing this person for the first time. You're experiencing their jokes, their life for the first time. And that's a great beginning, but it's not going to hold you long term for a good relationship. That in itself will not.
You know, and as I'm listening to you, something that popped into my mind right now, and we discussed this in an earlier show, in regards to oversharing, you know, and I've done that. Matter of fact, I've done a problem with all my relationships. I just put it all out there, and you made a very good point, you know, a couple of weeks ago that, you know, sometimes we have to hold back. But the other aspect about it in regards to this show is when a person, I don't want to say they're lying, but they don't let you know what they're all about. And so you fall in love with the mysterious because you don't know enough about them. And then perhaps you start looking, put them in a positive light because they haven't told you, quote unquote, the negative or bad stuff. They just keep giving you breadcrumbs and they're just telling you little bits and pieces that's keeping you enticed to want them. And so I guess the reason I'm bringing all that up is you got to find the balance between the two, you know, of sharing too much and versus not finding out what the other person is about. So
right.
And because I mean, you need to figure out who the person is, otherwise to quote unquote fall in love with this person when you don't know enough about them is silly. And you're setting up yourself, you're setting yourself up to get hurt or even failure, and that's another ball game to go through. But I guess what I'm going to is a mysterious factor, and that could be very intriguing and exciting, but on the other hand, if you're not careful, boy, it can hurt.
Mm-hmm. And it's knowing that, you know, it's new, it's intriguing and exciting because it's new. But from the get-go, it's looking at the long-term thing. Is this still something that you're going to find funny 5 years from now? Is this still something that you're going to enjoy? So to so many people, they fall in love with one aspect of somebody, or it's great at the beginning, and then they just get sick and tired of it. You know, my husband, he's very ornery, and he jokes all the time. But he can be very ornery, and, I mean, if you heard some of the things that he said, he could really be misconstrued as a total asshole, but I know he's just joking, and he's ornery, very ornery. And so he said one of the things that made him and makes him continue to love me more is the fact that I've never tried to squelch his orneriness. And he said every other girlfriend he's ever had at the beginning thinks, hey, ha, ha, Mike is so funny. But then, you know, after 6 months to a year, it's like, hey, tone it down, buddy. You're just being too damned ornery and not allowing him to be him. So whenever you're with this newness, you know, it fits in so much because at first so many of these girls he dated really thought his orneriness was funny. They laughed at everything he did. But it got old to them, and they wanted him to change. Once you start not liking something about somebody so much that you want them to change, there's trouble on the horizon. Whenever you're with somebody, you should be able to be completely yourself. You should be able to, whenever you're with somebody, you should be able to feel better about yourself doing anything. It's just something about their aura makes you feel better about yourself. And the best healthy relationships, it goes both ways. It's where you can just sit there and be together, you know, watching the sunset without saying a word and feeling that connection. There doesn't have to be the fun, that, you know, the action, the activity. It's just something that where you're really two souls that connect versus just knowing the mental part and not getting to know the soul. Hopefully,
you know,
it does.
And this is for the audience. And this, I'm telling you this from experience. So you get caught up in the newness of a relationship, and you're really excited, and it's going really, really well. And you know, some part of you already knows that eventually that's going to wear off and things are going to get back to normal. So, and that's fine. But I will tell you this. If a situation or an experience comes up that doesn't resonate with you, something happened, 99.9% of the time, everything's fantastic. Everything's going really well. You're excited. You're euphoric. I mean, it feels really, really good. But if your partner says something, does something, or it could be anything, I will tell you this, it won't be the last. And as humans, this is what we do. We put up with it because everything else is great. But I'll tell you what, it'll bite you in the ass later on because that person's going to redo. And they could apologize the first time. They could say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, whatever they did. It could be something mild as whatever, you know. They forgot to do something for you or something, you know, and it was important to you. Or you go to the other extreme. They pushed you around or they called you a name or just something. But anything from mild to extreme, if they do it the first time, chances are they're going to do it again. But
With what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying I agree with what you're saying, but also something that a lot of people don't even think about is something that's on a very, very, let's say, small-scale mental basis. And this is how so many people, both men and women, I mean, sometimes men don't want to admit that they've been in abusive relationships, but men can be just as much, especially mentally abused, as women. And there are a lot of women out there that want to control their man, just as much as there's a lot of men out there that want to control their woman. And it's not that they start this on the first date. You know, hey, they are the most charming, loving people. But then they start saying things like something that if it's an innate part of you, and, you know, like Mike's orneriness, hey, these people wanted him to change who he was internally. And, yeah, I'm not saying that you can't change, but it's like you can't give up who you are. You cannot give up the essence of who you are thinking it's going to improve your relationship, because you give up that one thing, the essence of you are, who you are, then you start giving up more and more and more. You know, I think back with my relationship with Earl even, you know, he would like, I don't like that blouse. It's too provocative. So I would never wear blouses like that anymore. If you wear red lipstick, you look like a whore. So I stopped wearing red lipstick. Now, these are like minor things. And I'm not saying wearing red lipstick is to my core, but I can say that he made me not trust my decision about the way that I look. He made me feel like I was asking for unwanted attention, or that I was acting like a whore if I wore red lipstick. And for men, even, it starts out, you know, really, you know, the same way. It's like, you know, a woman will say, you know, you never buy me flowers, and you never do this, you never do that. And they start saying, well, why don't you do this? I wish you would do that. I'm trying to think of, you know, I know I have a billion of them in my head and nothing is becoming concrete, because I have known quite a few men who have been in mentally abusive relationships. And, you know, I've known just as many men who say they walk around on eggshells. You know, there's this one gentleman I spoke to, he says, all I do is try not to piss her off. You know, and nobody wants to live a life like that. You don't want to live around trying not to piss somebody off. And that comes from somebody just not liking who you are to your core. One example with a gentleman, he was raised to you know, help people. And so he was driving down the road with his wife, and there was a car broken down at the side of the road. They were in sort of a desolate area, and he stopped to help this. And he got yelled at for an hour because he stopped to help this person because it wasn't his place to help other people. And this is a core part of who he was, is to help other people. But he got to where he wouldn't help other people while his wife was with him because he didn't like being yelled at for it.
I hear you loud and clear, and I totally agree. So that's a whole another aspect that if you don't, and again, you get caught up in the excitement, but if deep down you're starting to feel like you're not allowed, or you can't, or you don't feel comfortable being your authentic self, your true self, or you feel like you perhaps are being manipulated or controlled, as you said, you got to get out. I don't care how exciting the newness of the relationship is, and for some, you know, if you've been alone for several years, or you miss having that human touch, or that conversations you have at late at night on the phone with this person, and you miss all that, and so you overlook the stuff that's starting to creep up, and you ignore that because you think, well, I feel like I'm wanted now, or I feel good right now, or I feel euphoric when I'm around this person, so I'm going to ignore these other things. That's crazy, because it will bite you. It'll come back.
Exactly.
One day the energy of all that will be reversed. There will be very few moments of euphoric and many moments of negative energy because you're not being you.
And also, you know, you're craving this love from the other person, you're craving the touch, the attention, whatever. But if you're taking it all in, what are you offering this other person? Because if you're just doing all the taking and you're not giving the other person, you know, this is, you know, a perfect beginning for a toxic relationship. Because it really is, in a relationship, as I said earlier, both of you have to feel like you are becoming the best people you are. And what keeps popping into my head, so I'm going to say it, and I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell this story, and it's sort of silly. But you know, our minds are so creative and so imaginative, and we can make things be what they are not. The very first time I ever went to Disneyland, I was about 6 years old, and there was a ride called The Incredible Shrinking Machine. And so I went through this, you know, because The Incredible Shrinking Man had just came out, so they made this ride. And really, even as a teenager, I understood how that ride worked. I understood that it started out with little pictures, and then the pictures got bigger and bigger and bigger, which made you feel smaller and smaller and smaller. But when I was 6 years old, I was adamant that I had shrunk. You know, my mom thought it was so funny because I was telling everybody I shrunk in this machine. And this is how much my mind believed it. My mind believed that I shrunk. And so whenever you meet somebody new, you believe that it's 100% love because it's you're not seeing the whole picture. You're not seeing that you're not seeing how the ride works. You're not seeing the whole picture. You're only seeing how, oh, my God, you know, all of a sudden, you know, these pictures are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I, you know, my mind has always been very creative and has been able to take me places, but I think we do that so naturally, especially with love, where we want something so bad and we just see what's right there before us, you know, the blood cells getting bigger and bigger and bigger, making you think that you're shrinking, whatever it was with those pictures in the shrinking machine. But you're just seeing, you know, all the greatness. You're seeing all the love. And most of all, you're feeling that feeling of the touch, of human touch, of somebody laughing at your joke, of you feeling like you are number one and you're on top of the world. Real, what is the whole picture? And give yourself time to learn what the entire picture is before you fall too hard too fast.
So going back to full circle, and I know in most of our shows that we talk about this, so the suggestion that I would tell the audience is to have self-love for yourself first so that you know what's real and what's not, so that you can see what's really going on. So, and again, there's nothing wrong with newness and the exotic and the mysterious, but you have to go into that relationship with your eyes wide open. And the way you do that is through self-love. When you can prioritize and make yourself important enough that you are number one, that you can be authentic, that you can be yourself, and then you can enjoy this relationship with all the newness and the excitement and everything, but that if something pops up, that you have the ability, because you have the self-love for yourself, you have the ability to be discerning, rather than sticking around and hoping that it gets better. And so the premise to all this,
you know,
to me anyway, personally, is to love yourself enough that you matter.
Exactly. Love yourself enough and know your boundaries. You know, set boundaries and know what it is you want. When I, it was within, I think it was our second or third date with Mike. We had double dated with my best friend and her boyfriend. And we had went to the lake and we were fishing, and my friend and I, Liz, found some sticks on the, you know, on the lake bed, and we started having this word fight with these sticks. So we're just laughing and having fun, Liz and I, doing what we do, what we've always done when we were together. And Mike just, he was like laughing, like, you are so funny, you're so silly, and he really enjoyed me laughing and having fun and being totally silly, you know, having this sword fight with Liz with these sticks. And I mention this because with my ex, it would have been a completely different scenario. I was 100% being me at that time, doing what was making me feel good at that time. But Earl would not have had it because I had to act a certain way. And, oh, my God, you're so stupid. Why are you playing with sticks? You know, you're not 6 years old no more. Put that stick down. You know, that's what he would have done. So it was a completely different reaction from what I had been used to in the past. And I think that all of you can think of in toxic relationships, statements that were said to you that made you not be who you were. Because, you know, we change every today than I was yesterday. We change, we grow. And if we have somebody that's not allowing us to be us, then we're not growing in the direction we want to go. We're on this detour taking a path that's not going to lead us to where we ultimately want to go. It's not going to lead us to that happy, everlasting relationship that we want if we continue down the path of somebody telling us how to feel, how to think, how to talk, you know, if it's your nature, and it is my nature, I hug everybody. I'm a hugger. And you know, whenever I was younger, I used to hug everybody without even thinking twice about it. But, you know, I'm a little bit more politically correct now as far as, like, if I'm at a conference or something, I'll say, hey, do you care if I hug you? And I do that with a man or a woman because some people just aren't huggers. So I'm respecting their boundaries. But I'm still hugging people, lots of people, because that's who I am. And if somebody, you know, and I know that was one aspect, again, that Earl didn't like about me. So if you're a hugger and somebody's telling you not to hug, then this is an innate part of you. You know, if you say love you to everybody whenever you hang up on the phone with them and somebody doesn't like that part of you, then that's an innate part of you of loving, you know, of saying I love you before you hang up. It's really knowing that you need to be who you are innately and not because once they start with these little things, because they're not liking who you are innately and you don't want to change to be their version of you. And it's completely different than doing something to make somebody else happy. It's like, you know, Mike buys me roses all the time because Earl never bought them for me. And, you know, rather, you know, it's not like doesn't go against his grain, but, you know, hey, it's not his favorite thing to go spend money on flowers that are going to die within a week. But he does it simply because he loves the look on my face every time he gives them to me. So you can change things or do things to make the other person happy without denying who you are.
You know, one thing that you can ask yourself, and this is for even for the good stuff, but also the quote-unquote negative stuff. You know, when you're going through an experience with a person, let's talk about the good stuff. You're out to dinner, you're having a ball, you're having a great time, and there's a lot of joy going around. You can ask yourself, why am I allowing this to happen? Because obviously you're contributing to the aspect that this good time and this good experience is happening. But same thing on the opposite end. If something's happening that doesn't feel right, you got to take responsibility and ask yourself, why am I allowing this to happen? Because as you do that, you empower yourself to be discerning, to make decisions, to make the right choices, and if, with the quote-unquote good and bad. And you ask yourself, why am I allowing this to exist? Why am I allowing this experience to happen? And when you do that, you open your eyes and see what's really happening or to the truth that's happening in front of you.
You know, there's two types of people. There's the people that allow life to happen to them, and there's the types of people that create their life. And whenever you're creating your own life, you are consciously making the decision to do what makes you feel better. You're constantly making choices that make you feel excited and giddy inside. And you can't still be, you know, that excited, giddiness feeling even after a 20-year relationship. But it's, and so therefore it continues to make you feel good because you're being innately who you are. Or, you know, if you're trying to change who you are, trying to manufacture this fake feel good, then it's not going to last.
Awesome topic, Cindy, and thank you for sharing your wisdom. And again, Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diasforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, join us for this amazing, wonderful show. Thank you all for joining us. Remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or a wonderful evening. Cindy, you rock. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.
And you rock also, and thank you for being you, Mr. Al. And big hugs and big love to all of our listeners.
Awesome. Have a great day.